You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. After a break of 17 years, Sitka novelist John Straley has added another installment to the crime fiction series which launched his career. Baby's First Felony was released earlier this month. In today's morning interview, KCAW's Robert Woolsey talks with Straley about his decision to bring back investigator Cecil Younger.
I didn't think people liked him anymore. In 1993, I published the first Cecil book, and there was a lot of buzz about him. You know, people were crazy about him, and there was a lot of high expectation. And partly because I think people thought there was Dana Stabenow was just out then, and Sue Henry was just out then, and I think they thought I was going to be kind of like Tony Hillerman and play off of Native American lore. My book was called The Woman Who Married a Bear. And I knew I wasn't going to do that. I knew the Tlingit people didn't want me to do that. And I knew I just wasn't going to trade on that. And I knew that Cecil was going to just bumble around like a drunken white man, stumbling around Alaska as a defense investigator. That's another thing that's different about him. He represented people accused of crimes and not really solving crimes. He wasn't meting out justice. He didn't go out and find bad men and kill them. He usually stumbled into mysteries and helped people with injustice, but he didn't necessarily kill the bad guys. And his books have a solid group of fans, but it didn't grow the way my publishers wanted it to, and my agents. It didn't just take off. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll try something else. And I did. I started another series about a little town that I made up called Cold Storage, Alaska. My wife Jan got sick with Parkinson's, and I had to deal with that. We had to deal with that. I gave up for a while. I just thought, well, you know, there's a lot better ways to spend your time than writing books that, you know, make very little money. And then once I got a check for like $300 from Soho Press, and I forgot to cash it. And they called me, the bookkeeper called me, and he said, Mr. Straley, you forgot to cash this check. And I said, oh, jeepers, I'm sorry. I had just put it in the pile of bills that I hadn't paid on my desk. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm still writing books. I'm writing things I'm interested in. He said, well, you should send them to us. We love your books. And I said, well, you didn't like the last one so much. They had passed on it. And he said, well, you know, that woman is gone now. She had actually passed away. And I said, I know that. She said, the bookkeeper said, well, why don't you send it to our new editor? She, you know, I think she loves your stuff. And he said, and by the way, I'll reissue that check. Don't worry about it. I said, thank you. That's very nice of you. So I sent the book that they had passed on before. And that was Cold Storage, Alaska. And she liked it. And we worked on it together. We changed some things. And then The Big Both Ways. And then they bought all the other Cecil books back from Random House, Bantam, and then they got all excited about a new Cecil book. So the moral of that lesson, Rob, is don't cash your checks.
John, 17 years have elapsed since your last Cecil Younger novel. Has Cecil aged 17 years?
Not quite 17 years. In his last book, he was dancing out in front of the Pioneer Bar with Jane Marie, and they had their baby in their arms. And in this book, she's 13 years old.
Right, and a central, a pivotal plot element, I gather. Mm-hmm. What about you personally? You mentioned Jan. You guys have been dealing with Jan's Parkinson's, and you've had health issues yourself. What difference has that made to your, I'm reluctant to say maturity as a writer, but it's a long time. It's a long spread of years to come back to a character. And even though the character has aged, the author has aged too. Do you know what I mean? You have life experiences now that you did not have the last the last time you wrote a book in this series, and has that made a difference in how this book has turned out?
Well, I think I'm a more controlled writer. When I wrote the last Cecil book, I would write whatever was on top of my head and just go all kinds of places. This time I gave it a lot more thought, and I knew what I wanted to do. And one of the reasons I thought the Cecil books weren't as successful is that I always thought my plot action wasn't tight enough. I thought people weren't enjoying it because they drug, you know, they weren't fast-paced enough. And I thought, well, if that's the case, I want to write a tighter book. I want to write a page-turner. I want you not to be able to look up from this book once you start it. So I didn't even put chapter breaks in this book. And some people have already started criticizing me for that. I saw some blog that said, oh, I can't believe he's such a novice. He didn't put chapter breaks in this book. And I said, oh, gee, first.
I remember one time, John, you told me that a publisher told you your books needed more sex. And you added...
Oh, my father told me my books needed more sex.
And you added a scene with spawning salmon.
Yeah, I don't think there's any sex in this one either.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, my dad's dead. He's told me that on his deathbed. That my book. He said, John, come closer. And I said, what, Pop? And he said, you need more sex in your stories. I swear to God, that's true. And there's no sex in this one. Because I wanted to write a fast-paced story. I wanted to really move along. I didn't want many breaks at all. Sex is just always an interruption in the action. You know, it's like, oh, I have a gaping bullet hole here. Why don't you take off your clothes? You know, no, it's just it's awkward. I am trying to have a lot of sex in this book that I'm working on. My new book is called What Is Time to a Pig?
And is it part of the Cecil series?
No, it's a cold storage Alaska book.
Okay.
My idea, I don't know if this, I've never made a good plan. You know, like I was going to be a horseshoer when I moved to Sitka, and then my life plans changed. I worked for the Forest Service, and then I said, I'll become a private investigator. That's, you know, great life planning. But my plan now is to write a Cecil book and then a cold storage book and then a Cecil book.
Okay. Sorry, float plane flying over. Something just popped into my head. I know we both have lived in Sitka a long time, but Arthur Conan Doyle would take a train across Britain, across all that pastoral countryside, and he'd look out, and all he could think of was the opportunity for crime out in those lonely, you know, manors and farmhouses. On a gray day today, like so many you've described in your Cecil Younger novels, do you look at this as your, you know, your canvas for stories, a particular day like this? Heavy low clouds, people walking around in boots, rain gear, umbrellas.
Well, I love Sitka. I mean, I love Sitka as a place to live, and I love Sitka as a setting for a story, you know, and anything can happen here. So yeah, I mean, I think for me, this is the center of the world. You know, people talk about how the only real important places in the world are Paris, Tokyo, Beijing, and New York. And, you know, my publishers, they're wonderful, sweet people, but they're very provincial about New York. You know, they don't realize that St. Lazaria is, you know, as it sits so close to the continental edge and the cleft in the earth, that is probably really the center of the world, and that we're really right on the edge of it, and that they're just that much further away from the real center of the earth. Yeah, I think this is as intellectually rich place as anywhere.
St. Lazaria Island as the navel of the earth. I'm gonna remember that one. Thanks so much for coming in, John.
Thank you, Rob.
And I hope the book does well.
Yeah, me too.
Baby's First Felony.
Yeah, thank you.
In bookstores now.